Garin paused just inside the mouth of the cave, resting his AK-74 on his hip and listening intently, but picking up only silence. On the trek up the mountainside, the still worsening windstorm had picked up sand and dirt, spinning it hard enough to burn any exposed skin. He'd had to slide his sunglasses down to protect his eyes at the time, but he pulled them off now that he was in the dim light of the cave. Guy's men were in line behind him.
Go! Push forward! They're going to get away!
It took only a brief survey of the cave before he spotted the opening in the stone wall ahead.
They're gone! This is your fault, Brayden!
Garin swallowed his anger. He knew that a time for reckoning with Guy would come later.
They haven't gotten away. They're inside the underground city. City of thieves. We'll hunt them down like rats in a maze.
Taking a flashlight from one of Guy's men, Garin switched it on and stepped through the opening. Passing through the dark cavern, Anya became increasingly concerned they could be headed in the wrong direction. Since leaving the spiral staircase, she had seen no landmarks in the empty, pitch-black passageway. Suddenly, her instinct sensed a section of the floor she was treading tremble silently underfoot. She threw herself back against Kelly. Get back! A dozen sharpened metal spikes thrust out of the wall to the right and chipped stone from the opposite side of the hallway. Sparks flew like tiny fireflies and quickly died out. Anya climbed to her feet and carefully inched up to the pressure plate that had tripped the trap. It was 2,000 years old, but it still worked like a Swiss watch.
That was close.
Anya took a small crowbar from her backpack and attempted to pry the pressure plate back into place. Hitting the right spot, the iron spikes retracted into the stone wall.
So, Kelly, what do you do when you're not dodging death traps in lost and forbidden underground cities?
Espionage.
Chinese?
American.
Interesting. Are you over here on business?
Actually, the agency I used to work for and I have a hands-off policy with each other. I was coming to visit my father when I found him murdered by Guy's thugs.
I'm sorry.
Anya bent down and searched the ground, finding four small rocks that fit up under the pressure plate. She wedged them in tight. Testing it, she put pressure on the plate and found she'd managed to keep it from making contact with the tripping mechanism. She turned to the group of people behind her.
Give me room to work. If there was a trap here, there'll be others.
Anya's surgical mask had slipped off during the exertion. She hesitated for a moment, then took a deliberately deep breath, testing the air. There was nothing but the scent of stale air, and no effects from the datura powder that she could feel.
I think we'll be fine without the masks at this point.
As the others moved on, Kelly hung back. Once everyone had passed, the woman carefully pried out the rocks Anya had wedged in. When she stood, the trap was set again. Standing nearby, Rue looked at Kelly and grinned in approval.
I like the way you think.
There's no sense in letting a perfectly good trap go unused.
Hopefully, we won't have any need to come back this way.
At the bottom of the spiral stairs, Garin hunkered down to survey the floor.
What are you doing? Stop wasting time!
I'm looking to see which way they went.
Garin played the flashlight over the rock and dust, spotting the trail.
They went this way. Let's station a couple of men here to keep them from doubling back and escaping.
Guy pointed at two of the men near the rear and beckoned for the rest to move forward. He moved towards the middle, and Garin trailed after him. He could see that they were far too eager, refusing to acknowledge the dangers posed by the unknown terrain they traveled. One of the men had triggered a booby trap, sending iron spikes jetting from the wall. They slammed into the lead warrior, impaling him. Stepping forward, Garin saw that, incredibly, the man didn't die outright, but was instead hanging there, pinned against the stone wall like an insect on a collector's board. The other warriors stood back from the dying man, looks of shock on their faces. They were used to fighting street battles, not dodging booby traps. Garin muscled his way to the front and looked at the wounded warrior. There was nothing to be done to save him. Kneeling, Garin took out his knife and lifted the pressure plate that had sprung the trap. The bars withdrew, pulling back through the man's body and dropping him to the ground. He flailed his arms helplessly, no longer able to move his legs. Garin turned to Guy.
Perhaps you'd prefer I lead now. You can bet this isn't going to be the only trap in this place. Shaowu Ying and his people probably littered this place with dozens of these. I might be able to keep more of your men alive.
Guy nodded slowly, clearly shaken by what he'd just seen. Drawing his pistol, Garin put the barrel against the dying man's head. The man's eyes widened as he realized what was going to happen. At first, Anya had thought the cries of pain that had filled the corridor behind them had been horrible. But they didn't compare to the sudden silence that followed the last ringing echoes of the gunshot. She knew that the trap they'd left behind had claimed at least one victim, and though it worked as planned, the knowledge didn't make her feel any better or safer. In the last 15 feet alone, she'd disabled two more traps. Making her way gingerly to a doorway ahead, she shined her flashlight around, looking for the next.
What's in there? I can't tell, but whatever it is, it's big.
The darkness effortlessly absorbed Anya's light like a great ocean of blackness. She turned to Hu's assistant.
I need the flare gun from the emergency kit.
The young man dropped to his knees and opened the pack. He reached inside and brought out the flare gun. Chambering one of the fat rounds, Anya aimed the flare gun at the ceiling above them. She couldn't see it, but it had to be there somewhere. She squinted her eyes in anticipation of the bright light and squeezed the trigger. The flare deployed its parachute. Burning a pallid ruby and trailing smoke, the flare floated toward the ground. Anya watched the winged creatures for a moment, realizing that if they had found a way in, there had to be a way out. That didn't mean that way out was big enough for human beings, or anywhere close, for that matter. The chamber was at least 150 yards across. To Anya's right, and dead ahead of her, doors opened into entire multi-story buildings built into the stone. The chamber floor was covered in rock, quarried in alabaster-colored flat slabs a foot to 2 feet across, fitted and mortared together.
Look here, there are steps cut into the wall.
Before the flare winked out, Anya caught a glance of the stone staircase. It curled around the chamber, gradually leading up, vanishing in the darkness again before she could see where they ended.
It has to lead to the way out.
Anya couldn't be so sure. Even if the stairs had once climbed to the surface, there was no guarantee this was still true. Anya would have loved to stay and explore the beautiful buildings cut into the chamber side, but knew she couldn't with Garin and Guy hot on their heels.
All right, everyone. Let's see where these steps take us.
She took the lead, laying her flashlight over the steep steps. It took a while, but Anya and the rest of her group finally reached the top of the staircase, only to find a tumbled-down mass of rocks blocking the way. She couldn't tell if there had ever been a doorway under the debris, or if the stairs had merely fed into another corridor. What she was sure of was that she felt air on her face, cool against the perspiration. Reaching into her pocket, she took out the lighter she habitually carried for starting fires. She struck the igniter, sparks flared to life, and the wick caught. A bright yellow-blue flame danced to life. Immediately, the flame shimmied, pulled by the same invisible air currents that Anya felt on her skin. Airflow meant that there had to be a gap somewhere. She moved the lighter close to the chamber wall, knowing that air had a tendency to follow solid surfaces. Sliding the lighter's flame within inches of the wall, Anya discovered that the air flowed through the wall at many different places. Raising her flashlight with her other hand, she searched for cracks in the surface.
Over here!
Anya turned to Kelly, who stood tracing her forefinger along a two-straight crack that ran along the wall. This one met three others, all at right angles to each other, framing a rectangle.
It's a door.
Anya, they're coming.
As a group, the other members of the archaeological team shrank back against the wall, acting as if they could pull the shadows over themselves and stay hidden. Anya handed her flashlight to Kelly, then ran her own finger along the wall. If it was a door, there had to be a means to open it. Her probing hand found a dust-covered rock that jutted out unnaturally, and felt far too smooth to have been created by nature. Anya pulled and twisted and finally pushed on the rock. It slid a quarter inch and something clicked.